Now, again, I teach these skills in detail in a 10-day program called The Time of Your Life. But right now, I want to give you a simple skill. There are 10, but one I can give you is on the concept of chunking. If you get stressed easily, which most of us do because there's so much coming at us, I think just understanding this skill can take you out of stress very quickly. So to share this with you, I thought I'd go to a live seminar. So take a deep breath in, maybe take a sip of water, and listen up. And I'll share with you this fundamental principle that can get rid of stress so quickly if you really understand it. Let's go to the next principle, the power of chunking, which is, if you want to make a note, it's the principle of simplicity. Most people make their life so complex that they don't know where to start. Just thinking about all the things you have to do keeps you from doing them. That's why you focused on the result and the why. Once you've got this, we got to show you what this process is, what RPM is, a chunking device. Now, what does that mean, a chunking device? Well, I'll give you an example. There are lots of things you don't do because of the way you chunk it. Typical example that I hear is somebody says, well, I want to go on a trip to Europe. And say, why haven't you? Well, I'm so busy. I don't have time to plan it out. Can't think it out. Well, why don't you go? Well, God, you know, first you got to figure out where you're going to go. I mean, there's so many countries, and you got to, you know, you talk it over. You got to find yourself a travel agent, and then you got to, well, you maybe go online and compare ticket prices, and then you got to find the right hotel, and they don't speak the language, and then, you know, you got to go back and forth between the stuff, and then when you're done with that stuff, even if you do it, you have to get on the plane, you know, and you got to gather all your stuff. You got to pack all your stuff. You got to go on the plane. You got to make many different trips. You got to go through those metal detectors. You got to make sure you're on time. The planes are usually late, you know. And it's like, decide you go do all those things. You want to go someplace like Venice. You got to go on 4 different flights to get there. At least 3. Got to take that continental flight. Then you got to the other flight. Then you go there. Then you got to get, you know, on a boat to go across the water. And then of course they'll forget some of your luggage. And then you get there and you got to convert your money. And then you got to try and find a restaurant in a place where everybody and their brother is already there because this is the high season for that kind of stuff. And, you know, then you got to pack everything up again and they got to go down and pay your bill. And they usually are upset because you didn't understand what the exchange rate was. And now you got more luggage because you bought lots of stuff. You know, and then you got to get back on a boat. You got to drive all the way back and you get on that one small plane. Of course, it's always late. And they got to go to Paris where you get held up for a long time. And they got to get another plane. They got to fly to the United States. And you got to take the commuter flight back there, back to your town. Then you got to get a limousine and you got to drive all the way back home. I'm going to LA. Isn't that what people do? Even for things that would be fun. But you know what? If you'd been focused on a couple things, saying all we got to do, pick the place, get someone to handle all the details, and show up. That'd be very different, wouldn't it? Or if you just focused on the result. See, if you focused on the result, what would you say? You'd say, we're going to be tomorrow, 3 days from now, next week, you and I are going to be sitting in the piazza, or you're going to say, we're going to be in a gondola in the middle of the night, maybe at midnight, with a singer going between these little canals. He's going to be singing beautiful Italian music, and we'll just have the most magnificent dinner of our lives. And we'll be dancing together in the square. And we'll be walking along the place where history was made, where the greatest musicians and artists and painters were ever there. And we're going to be making love all night long. And I'm going to write poetry to you in the morning. You're like, call the travel agent. Right? Is it a different experience, yes or no? Totally different experience. How about working out? You know, most people chunk working out. They go, oh, working out. I don't have time to work out. Why not? Well, I don't belong to a gym. Well, why don't you? Well, you know, like, I don't have time. You got to get Yellow Pages, and you got to look up and see which gym's in the area. Then you got to go, you know, call them, see what their hours are. And then you got to drive so you can check it out because you don't know if it's really the right place. So you go there, and you have to go through the little parking guy. You got to take a ticket, and you got to go in there. And then you got to go to the front desk and say, I'm looking. And then they'll take you around. They show you one machine. They show you another machine. They walk you through the place. They take you through here. And then you have to go there. Then you sit down for a 3-hour presentation on why you should buy 200 years worth of this sponsorship. And you have some salesman talking at you, and all you really want to do is check it out. And then let's say you buy it. You got to take out your credit card. They got to process it. They got to come run the little machine over. You got to sign the thing. Then you got to go take a picture that makes you look worse than your driver's license does. And you take that picture, and you got your little card, and then they give you a key. And you take the key, and you got to go get a towel. Now you get the towel. Now you got to go find your locker. You find your locker, undo your locker. Now you got to do it. You got to hang your stuff on the hook that you know the minute you close the locker, all your stuff's going to fall down and be wrinkled. So you do that, and you put on your other clothes, and now you go out, and you go to the first machine, and it's sweaty. So you got to wipe the thing off, and you do it. You go to the second machine, there's somebody waiting there. After you got off, you got to wipe it off. Then you got to adjust the weight. Then you got to go in and do your exercise. Then you got to go to the next one and do it. Then you go to another one and another one and another one. And after all that, you got to go back. And you got to go take off all your clothes and pick up those things and put these smelly, stinky clothes in your bag that will be in your car later on. Now you got to go take a shower or a steam around other people who you're going to see much more of than you ever wanted to see. Then you got to put on your hair or your makeup or shave, whatever, all over again, spray all the stuff on. Now you got to put on your wrinkled clothes, take your little bag, then you got to go to the front desk and you got to show them your things so they stamp your parking thing so you don't get charged for it. Now you got to walk out and find your car in the parking lot, open up, put the stinky bag in the trunk, then you got to get in, you got to give the thing to the guy and drive off. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to work out. Want to eat? Sure. What do you got to eat? Do it. They chunk eating as one thing. They chunk working out as 5 billion elements. You can't imagine how many things you don't do because of the way you chunk them. Now, chunking is an art. RPM, I call the art and science of creating an extraordinary life, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to teach you the science. The science is the thinking process, the system. That's the same every time. The art is the word you bring to it. The art is, do you chunk things? Now, if you try and eat a whale in one bite, that's chunking up too much. That's overwhelming. If you chop it into 8 million pieces, you're going to be overwhelmed also. There's an ideal size for chunking. So what is chunking at its essence? Chunking is the process of turning more into less. Chunking is the process of turning more into less. What does that mean? It means instead of having all these millions of things, it's now working out. Remember when you tried to drive that stick shift car in the beginning? You had 50 things you're doing. I gotta do this and that. I gotta push the accelerator and I gotta do the clutch and I gotta put in gear and I gotta watch the road too. It'll never happen. But after a while, it just became driving. Now you talk on the phone, shift gears and everything else because it's one thing. We're gonna show you how to chunk your whole life, how to take everything in your life and turn it into maybe 8 or 10 things you focus on. And show how to make every single week more juicy than it's ever been by knowing all you got to do is handle these 8 things. Something comes up, it'll fit in one of these 8 areas for you. It will revolutionize the way you manage your life, and it'll wipe out your stress. A definition of chunking says, when you group together information into ideally sized pieces so they can be used effectively to produce results without stress or overwhelm. It's chunking takes you out of overwhelm. It's the number one thing that it does. And by the way, this is science or art? Both. Science is knowing you got to group things together to ideally sized pieces so you're not overwhelmed. The art is what's right for you. I'll tell you, the simplest chunking is usually 3s. Most people, when they're trying to chunk things, if they go beyond 3 chunks, it overwhelms them. That's why most phone numbers have 3 parts, an area code, prefix, and the end, right? Most people's names, they have 3 names. You look at a symphony, you go through what happens. You got 3 different tones that you'll take that symphony through in time. I don't care what it is you look at, most of them are chunked in that way because it's the easiest. Now, you can do more than that, but it's easy for people to remember in 3s. Most people chunk things 1, 2, 3, many. That's how the mind works for most people. 1, 2, 3, many. When you're first driving a stick shift car, you got to use the clutch, the brake, the accelerator, the steering wheel, and you got to be looking forward. Right? The shifting gear, that's 6 things, they're overwhelmed. After a while, all those things become one chunk and you can do 2 other things. How many follow that? Say I. But in the beginning, it's too many chunks. That's why it's difficult in the beginning. Until you get it unconscious. Same thing, by the way, is true of planning. Okay? Now, when do most people make a change, by the way? When they get enough what? Pain. So this relates to the example I gave you earlier. So it says, one spring morning, Elvis wakes up. He takes a good look at himself in the mirror and shudders in disgust. He just can't bear carrying around those 20 extra pounds and the subsequent love handles he's gained in the last few years. That morning, he decides to solve his problems by going on a 10-mile run to his to-do list. By the end of the run, he's exhausted. His lungs hurt. He's sweating like a pig. His heart feels like it's going to pop right out of his chest. The next morning, his muscles are so sore he can barely move, and he has a big, fat, ugly blister on his big toe. To console himself, he goes to Denny's for a Grand Slam breakfast and decides that exercise is simply not for him. Is that a typical approach? Problem is that Elvis was focused only on the action item of going for a run instead of establishing a clear picture of what he what? Really wanted. Was his outcome to run 10 miles? No. He wanted to lose 20 pounds. So often we forget that our real outcome or result is, and we start thinking we have to write out a to-do list to make it happen. There are many ways Elvis could have achieved his outcome if he knew what he really wanted. He needed to create an RPM block, starting with the question, what specific result am I committed to achieving? The follow-up, what's my purpose? And finally, what actions do I need to take? So you see an example here again, to lose 20 pounds and enjoy the process. Does that a different result than just say lose 20 pounds, yes or no? If you wrote lose 20 pounds versus you wrote lose 20 pounds and enjoy the process of reaching my ideal weight and vitality, are you going to come up with a different action item list for enjoying than just getting the job done, yes or no? And if you make enjoying a part of it, you actually will follow through. If you don't, you won't. You can see his purpose was to feel great about himself, to increase his sense of control over his life, to increase his strength and vitality, to raise his self-esteem and feel sexy. 1, consult a nutritionist. 2, clean out my kitchen, get rid of the junk food. 3, go shopping for health foods. 4, find a cook who can share health food distinctions. 5, join a gym. 6, schedule time to work out. I got a question for you. If you need to lose 20 pounds, are these similar action items you would need to take, yes or no? For various results, the activities are very similar, aren't they? What do you think happens when you start doing a few of these? What do you think happens if somebody loses 80 pounds and they have a plan and they actually did it? So you go, how'd you do it? Instead of saying, well, I want to diet, they go, here, read this. And you can take their exact plan and do the exact things and get the exact result. Pretty soon, when people get results around you who do this or you do this, you can show them exactly how to do it. No fluff, no generalizations, and you can tell them exactly how long it takes, and they'll know it's true and they can read it. And they'll know the reasons why you did it, how to do it, they can adapt it. They can put their own words in it, their own emotions in it, but the basic system is the same.